The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right.
Hola, friends. Welcome to Laughter Permitted. Thanks for hanging with us. I'm Julie Fowdy. She's Lynn Ozawi. Hi, Lynn.
Hey there, Jules.
Super stoked for this podcast. We have Paralympic superstar Oksana Masters.
It was such a pleasure to spend time with Oksana and another phenomenal and rad human for our dope village to get to know here.
Mm-hmm. Oksana was born in Ukraine and spent the first 7.5 years of her life in orphanages before being adopted by her American mom, Gay Masters. She was born with numerous birth defects caused by radiation, which she talks about in her interview, and has undergone multiple surgeries, including having both of her legs amputated. For Oksana, she was introduced to sports in America, and it became an outlet for her to shine. She now has 17 summer and winter Paralympic medals. She has medaled in para rowing and para cycling at the Summer Games, and with her 14 winter Paralympic medals in cross country skiing and biathlon, she is now the most decorated U.S. Winter Paralympian. You all are in for a treat. So get comfortable listening. It's Oksana Masters. Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on Trailblazing Women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com. Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com. Kick back. Okay, I knew you like coffee from your Instagram, but holy cow.
Oh, yes.
Look at you.
Well, I have to be very strategic because over here is the wine section. So I'm like, I can't look like an alcoholic. I have to make sure.
There's no judgment.
Oh, this just looks really bad with all the two different grinders and espresso machine and then pour over.
Oh, my God.
I was just going to ask you to walk us through the various coffee apparatus because you're with two fellow coffee lovers.
Yes. Okay. Because I hate to admit that I'm a coffee snob
and wine lovers.
I don't drink wine, but Julie makes up for me.
Yes. I drink for Lynn.
Nice. So that one is just for espresso only, that grinder. And then this is the espresso machine that I was going to use as my noisemaker, as my steamer.
But it's
delicious. I'm hoping it sticks. face.
Partially because I'm so competitive. Okay, so Julie, like, I love how competitive and how into these things that you get. I'm like, okay, so maybe they won't hear her chime in if mine's louder.
I think just you. Based on creativity, you get to answer every question first.
I have no idea what you're talking about with my competitiveness, Oksana. Oksana, I mean, I have nothing left to be competitive about. It comes down to this damn game. Okay, set the scene, please. Oksana, we do this always on the podcast. Where you're at, what you're doing, all that stuff.
I am in my kitchen table right now with surrounded by coffee machines, espresso machines, because that's my happy place and that's my office.
It's wonderful when you can live in your happy place. I heard your mom calls you a resilient rascal on a podcast you did. And immediately I thought, that's a life goal of mine, for that to be my nickname. Tell me about that. Cause I was like, that is rad.
I don't know how or where she came up with resilient rascal, but it was right when she adopted me. She just kept calling me resilient rascal. I think because of just growing up in different orphanages and just being resilient in that, but then also teaching myself like how to walk and stuff. And then just rascal, because I don't really like to follow the rules a lot. I really like to push the limits. So I challenged her in a lot of ways. So she combined the two and said just resilient rascal.
As if I could love you anymore. Before we get into all your awesomeness at the Paralympics, you just mentioned it, the orphanages in Ukraine. Can you take us back to your childhood in Ukraine?
Yeah, the one I remember the most is my last orphanage I lived in, and that was for about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Because for age groups, when you age out of it or you grow out of it. And I sure as heck wasn't growing out of it because I was not getting the food for it. But from like birth through 3 years old, you're in what's considered baby home. And then boarding, like internat or something, it's like from 3 to 5. And the orphanage I came from, the last one, was government run. So there's like baby homes and then orphanages, and then there's internats. And internats are the ones that are all government ran, and a lot of corruption and stuff happens there. So the treatments, I didn't really get the best medical treatment, but then also food wise. And when I came to America, I was almost turning 8. My mom adopted me when I was 7.5, close to 8. And I was 34 inches tall and, or 36 inches tall, weighed 34 pounds. And
oh my gosh,
that is definitely, when I got to America, they said I was just failure to thrive and probably wouldn't make it. Especially if I was in Ukraine, like I would have definitely died there for sure before I was 10. And you live life a little differently when you're get old enough to understand the circumstance that you got out of.
Oh my gosh. And on top of being in these orphanages, you were born with these radiation induced birth defects. Yeah. Give us a little more context on that as well.
Well, I inherited all the things bad and not the cool stuff. Like my hair will not curl from radiation. I didn't get any crazy radiation superpower like all these movies show. But there was, it was when I came to America, they did x-rays on my teeth because I had 5 abscess teeth, and they decided to tackle that first before everything else. And when the x-ray showed on my adult teeth that there was radiation in it, and I don't have any enamel. And one of the things that can strip enamel off your teeth in utero is radiation exposure. And they don't know for sure if it's linked entirely to Chernobyl or if it's another one, because the part of Ukraine that I lived also or was born in has a current nuclear power plant there as well. And I remember growing up as a kid, there'd be like a cop that would go by the villages and would just say like to board up, and no one walks out because they had a leak. The radiation's too high in the air. So it would just go down. Even though it was
3 years later from the actual explosion, because it was the radiation levels in the soil and the ground just continued to rise mm-hmm. after the actual explosion happened. And it resulted in me having birth defects where I didn't have the weight bearing bones below the knee. I had 6 toes, which is not because of radiation. Apparently that is genetic. So that means my birth mom had 6 toes, and I can't wait to meet her and ask her if she did. And I have my hands, everything was webbed. My hands were webbed. I don't have a thumb. I had 5 fingers and only 2 knuckles, not the third one, if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I call it my claws, not hands, because it looks more like it. But I only have 1 kidney. I'm missing parts of my stomach, and I don't have my right bicep.
You don't have your right bicep?
Yeah. So, which is great, because I won't get bicep tendon issue that I keep getting on my left shoulder from the bike. So uh-huh. I only have to worry about that on one side of the arm. But yeah, I have the short head, not the long head main bicep group. And there's so much that also, in addition to the evidence of radiation in my teeth, so many parts of my body isn't structured right and has deformities, that radiation is the only thing that can touch so many different levels and not just be a blanket of tibia hemimelia or whatever other things to explain for my hands and the organs and stuff.
Oh my gosh. I'm like looking at that list of things you just rolled off, and I'm like, oh. I mean, the perspective for anyone who is able-bodied and living healthy, you know, obviously you are living a prosperous life, but like what you've had to overcome with the surgeries, with the birth defects, how many surgeries did that require to America?
When I came to America, oh my gosh, I used to count, and then I lost count at 28 or 29. And technically I'm supposed to have surgery every single year on my hands. And this is where I'm kind of approaching that time in my life as an athlete of what, like, you have to pick and choose pain versus ability mm-hmm. because I don't have muscles, and it's just the tendons are curling in. So they have to go and recut them and release them. And when they do that, I lose function in my hands. But it hurts if I don't get the surgery. And I've been putting that off for while I'm active in sports. But 29, 28 surgeries is what I last lost count on, specifically to fix what was going on. And then I had 7 surgeries in Ukraine as well. They tried to undo some of the webbing, and they removed the 6th toe and tried to remove some of the webbing on my fingers, but did it down to like the knuckle, not all the way. Mm-hmm. And then like I have so many scars, I don't know what they're from all over, but some I know what they're from, and then some are from IV cut down scars because of just it's not the materials and stuff that they had weren't good, and then just didn't really have proper trained medical people there.
Oh my gosh.
Can you tell us the story of how your mom came into your life?
Oh my gosh. it's a long story short. Yeah. She was supposed to come and adopt me when I was 5, but Ukraine put a moratorium on adoptions, all foreign adoptions. And then in addition to that, there was some political things that were happening in the US side as well. And I think my mom and I could not be any more opposite people. I mean, she loved to just read and just stay home and a homebody. And I want to be out there in the grass, rolling around, being active. But everything I learned to and have as an athlete to be a good athlete is what I learned from her in that process of adoption and just her fight for me, because she's really maybe not rascal, but she's so resilient in that fight, in that journey, because they basically told her that, oh, that we don't know when you can go and get her. And she's basing this whole adoption on me, on a picture, a black and white picture. She never met me before. I mean, when you look at this picture, I don't know what she's basing this on, because it's so grainy. It's so, you can't tell anything except my ugly haircut or French haircut.
And I've seen the picture.
It's awful. It is my not. Boyfriend, oh, it is. It's okay. My boyfriend is like, I love him so much. And he's like, yeah, it looks like something from The Grudge or something. But that's
it's
where, like,
cute. I could, you have that short little bowl haircut. Aww.
All because it was easy to check for lice. and then she said, well, thank God Oksana doesn't know I'm coming to adopt her, because this ban was put on and she didn't know how long. This has been a year into the process. And in that time, they're telling her to go to Russia. You can adopt a baby like you wanted, and you can have this child within weeks, a month. You never know when this adoption is going to open again in Ukraine. And she just said, no, that's my daughter, and fought for me and waited for me. But it turned out I did know of her, and I was looking at her picture every single day at the director of the orphanage office. And it became a tool to use against me because of that rascal side of me, where I just didn't follow rules, no matter what trouble I got into there. He would start saying, well, your mom's not coming because she knows you're a bad girl. You're doing this, and she knows it. She sees it, and she doesn't want to come. At first, you don't believe it, but then a year goes by, and you kind of start to wonder, like, oh, maybe she can see. But yeah.
So what was the moment like when you first met your mom?
I just love her so much. So she finally got the notice that she can travel to Ukraine, and they told me the night before she was finally coming, and it was going to be tonight, like, or today was going to be the day you're going to meet your mom, and she's going to come and adopt you. And she didn't come yet, and there were some delays in her travel, so of course I threw the biggest hissy fit, because I thought if I went to sleep, then that it would never happen, and she would forget about me, and it would just never happen. And then finally I ended up going to sleep, and it was midnight, and it was in that time of the year where, so my orphanage was also a boarding school, so there were 300 other kids there, but they had families to go home to during, like, holidays or for whatever reason. So it was just the seven of us true orphans there, and sleeping in one bed or one bedroom with, like, these beds lined along everywhere along the walls and stuff. And all of a sudden, I will never forget this. She had her, like, black coat and her, like, fur around it. And she just goes down. And then my Aunt Sherry went with her to adopt me as well. And so she's there, but then interpreters are there and the director of the orphanage. And they're like, Oksana, do you know who this is? And in Ukrainian, all I saw was, I woke up and I saw her, and I was like, I know you, you're my mom, because I have your picture, see? And they let me have her picture to have by my nightstand when I went to bed, as if that picture was my evidence, like, okay, this seals it, or you're my mom, because I have this.
Oh. Wow.
Oh, and that she had, oh, that she kept, like you said, she could have gone and adopted in Russia, and she said, I want Oksana. Oh,
so it was about two years that she waited, and you waited.
Yeah. I didn't know how to count days or times there, but she definitely knew. And then it took about another month, but I got to go and stay in the little flat with her and the whole process, because there were so many complications where I was born in the Ukraine part, Western Ukraine, and it's considered the gateway from the East and the West. And the West still speaks Ukrainian only, and the Eastern Ukraine's more Russian Ukrainian speaking. Mm-hmm. So some of the paperworks were translated in Russian, and then the governments didn't accept it. And there was a whole lot of paperwork back and forth that we were stuck there for a while. I can't imagine doing that as a single parent. But I'm pretty sure she would maybe second guess herself when I got to be a teenager, Oksana. I don't
know about this. Yeah, we all do. How did you find sports then in when you came to America?
So I first got into ice skating. My mom brought me to a program in Buffalo, New York, where we first got there. And it was a program.
Is this before the double amputee surgeries or after?
Yeah.
Before. This is before. Okay.
Yeah. So when I came to America, it was around 97. And my mom, she had pictures of me and she sent them to doctors before she went to Ukraine to say, what am I looking at? What medical needs and surgeries is she gonna have? Cause she knew I was gonna have them.
Yeah.
And the first one was to amputate my left leg because it was about 6 inches shorter than my right one. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to wait a year to amputate that. So that way I learned the language because we didn't speak each other's languages, and to kind of attach to her and bond to her and understand like my new home and what this is, which is smart of her to not just adopt me and then just start taking body parts off my leg, because that would be a lot to adjust to. That was when I was 9, but I started ice skating before 9. I think it was really shortly when I got to America. And then I had to have the second leg amputated, or the first leg amputated. And ice skating wasn't to be competitive. I didn't look at it as a sport. I had no idea what a sport was and what I was doing, but there were kids that looked like me, and also adults, because it varied in ages. So it was a program for people with special needs, intellectual and physical disabilities. And you get paired with an able-bodied person that is your partner that teaches you how to ice skate. And I just fell in love with it. And more of my mom was saying, like, I was learning English by the minute. The more I spent there, it was just like I was just picking up words. And then when I was 12, I fell in love with ice skating. My mom watched ice skating with her mom before she passed away. And that's what my mom and I did, is we watched ice skating. And then I moved to Louisville, but it wasn't like sports wise. I got into rowing in Louisville, Kentucky, when we moved, but I hated the way it was introduced to me because they said adapted rowing. And I just felt like, okay, so 13 years old, you've got the world figured out and you think you know where you belong and what you can and can't do and what you, and I just didn't like the, like, why do I have to do an adaptive sport just because I'm missing a prosthetic? I have a prosthetic leg and I look different. And I tried to be in my volleyball team and on a dance team until they said my prosthetic was a liability and I couldn't. And my mom,
are you serious?
Yeah. So I was allowed on it in a mural volleyball team, but I didn't actually get to play any of the games. Finally, my mom once again was that person that got me into sports, and not to do it competitively and to do it for a sports reason. It was just kind of the similar reason of getting into ice skating, which is make new friends and get involved within that community. And then finally I was like, okay, mom, I will stop. If you stop asking me, I'll go and try it once. That's honestly where everything kind of sport wise changed for me, was the minute I got on the boat and realized, like, from moving around and going, having from surgeries and moving from Ukraine and then from my first home in America to Kentucky and needing to make new friends again, it was the first time I actually felt like I belonged somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it was just right there on that boat. And that's kind of the little match that lit it all.
What did it feel like in your body? Did you feel a connection when you were rowing to maybe learning a new physicality that your body was capable of?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I did not love my body, and nor did I see power or strength or anything in it. I just saw what it was missing and how ugly it is and like, why me situation. I was an angry young girl to begin with, but then, there's things that were happening in my dreams that I tried so hard to suppress and really the way I thought, if you forget about it and suppress so much, like things didn't happen. But then things were happening. I would wake up in the middle of the night with just my bed sweating in like a pool of sweat. And my mom would have to come and I'd be screaming and she would have to wake me up out of it. And there was just all these nightmares were coming from some things that I experienced, a lot of the physical abuse that did happen there. And it was a way for me to not have to like speak, because if I felt like if I spoke what happened, then it just makes it even more real and more angrier. And it was a, God, that feeling. First of all, I'm biased. I love rowing. I feel like everybody should get in a boat because they're gonna fall in love with it. It's just a sport ever. But that release when, or that tension you feel at the catch and your oars are in the water and you hear the little brunk of the oars and you just pull so hard. You just get mad and just like, I don't know. You scream and you feel good and you feel 10 times lighter. And there's just that release. And I felt, so it was like a physical reaction of just my heart in a way of healing first and my body healing first and just processing everything. I just want to scream and process everything. And especially finding out I was going to have to have my second leg amputated. And it gave me an identity there. And then it slowly helped me grow to see how strong I can be. Not how strong I'm not strong now, but I can be strong if I continue to do it.
It sounds almost as if it was this freedom you found.
Yeah.
This other world of, oh my gosh, I can exist in this world and it's my outlet for
it was so many things. Totally my outlet to just physically heal, mentally heal, emotionally heal. And that was before I even knew I was doing any races, and I knew racing existed or there was opportunities for that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how did you get into Paralympics?
So in 2007, the end of 2007, beginning of 2008, I learned about what somebody said at the director of the rowing club, Randy Mills, said, you should look into the Paralympics. I was like, the what? Like, I've never heard of this at all. The para what? So weird. And he's like, yeah, it's a sporting event for athletes like this, like in your position. And you can go and you can race and represent your country, USA. And I'm like, what? And I Googled what the Paralympics was.
Julie, what did Oksana do?
She GTS'd it. Google that shit, Oksana.
Google fixes everything. It teaches you everything. It's always right, right?
we just did a podcast with Alana Myers-Taylor, and that's how she found bobsledding. She's like, I Googled it. And we're like, of course, you GTS'd it.
Apparently, if you just use Google, you will become either an Olympic or Paralympic
superstar.
That's all it takes. Google.
Really, I owe all my thanks to Google. Basically.
They don't even sponsor the pod. They should. Okay, sorry. So you GTS'd it.
I GTS'd it, and I love saying that. I'm gonna say that. I'm gonna keep that one if it's okay with you.
Yeah, you steal it. You steal it.
And I saw how people like race. It's your country. I first thing I noticed was that you're not racing with your name. You're not racing with your community there. It's your country is what you're wearing and representing. And I fell in love with the fact representing something so much more than yourself. Mm. At the same time, I get to represent where I come from, which is all those little tiny kids that didn't have homes, and represent adoption, and that this is what can happen if you choose to adopt. And it's incredible life you can create for a child and for someone. And I fell in love with it. I did not make the team at all in 2008. I tried to, epic fail entirely. And then what really set me on the path to the Paralympics was that failure moment. And it's sometimes it's not until you fail that you realize how much you want it and how far you're willing to go and do. And then especially when someone tells you you're too small, you'll never be an athlete. This is not realistic. You should look at other avenues. That really pissed me off. Excuse me, French.
Resilient rascal. Yeah. I love your spiciness.
No, I'm too much of a jalapeno sometimes. It's not. I need to calm it down.
I know. Never calm it down. Please.
But it just made me so angry because my life, I felt like, was just full of people assuming what I can do and what I should do. Like, get into adapted rowing because you have no leg. Do this because of that. And, oh, you'll never be able to do this or whatever. And it was just always determined for you. Mm-hmm. Like, even to my mind, like going to child therapist too, and they're saying, oh my gosh, she's going to need lifetime of medication just to make her normal. And it made me mad. And so then I just wanted to prove her wrong. And like, I'll show you, I'm going to be there in rowing and in London. And that's what also, it was for that next little girl who I know I'm not the only one that was told, you're too small. Like, you're not an athlete's build. You're too short, whatever it is. And wanted to prove that sports, like an athlete is, there's no ideal type to be an athlete at all. And it comes in so many different shapes and sizes. And we all have these incredible superpowers to bring to the table that you'll have, no one else will have. And it's knowing how to utilize it. And that's what I did, is I quit my two jobs. I put school on hold, moved to Sarasota, Florida to train, and moved away from home, and all in pursuit of making the team, hopefully one day.
Well, yes, you did. I mean, can we making the team one day? Okay, let's go down the list of things. Thank you for that segue. 2 golds in cycling at the Summer Paralympic Games in Tokyo. 7 medals in Beijing. If you competed in it, you medaled in it. Now the most decorated U.S. winter Paralympian of all time. I think it worked out pretty well for you, sister. Holy cow.
I think I had the right team behind me and people who just believed in me and made it possible. I can just follow through on the start line, but there's a whole lot of people that went into helping me achieve medals in every event that I started.
Oh my gosh. I love that the first thing you want to do is thank your team. Oh my God. I love you.
It's true.
That.
Like I feel the most, it's such a weird thing. And I should never admit this, but I feel sometimes selfish standing on the podium because it's like you, but it's not just you that got there or why you're there at all. And I know that for a fact. And I just wish I could bring that village and bring my mom up there. And just
that's a dope village behind you.
Including that coach that told me I would never be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you? Yeah. I know that feeling too. Oh, who's that person that told me I couldn't make it? On top of the emotion of competing there and doing so well, you also had, of course, the Russian invasion of Ukraine happening right as you were competing. I can't even imagine all the emotions you were and still are managing. Of course, it's still going on. How are you doing with all of that?
To be honest, not good. I will never forget on the 24th in LA, we were doing our processing there before we left for Beijing. And because I was part of a close contact tracing for someone who had tested positive for COVID, I was also isolating in my room, which is probably not the healthiest place to be when that is happening. And you just have that on 24/7 following it. But on the 24th, around 9:30 Central time, Pacific time, was watching the news, and then all of a sudden I heard sirens going off and just the reaction of the announcer there that was saying what's going on, and all of a sudden seeing smoke, and then it actually happened. Like, not only is this just talk, because war is starting in Ukraine now. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did is call my mom, and I was just like, it's happening. It's happening, mom. It's Ukraine is in under they're at war, Russia invaded, and she turned on the news and this, she was sleeping because she's on central time already and just stayed up and just cried. One of my biggest life dreams is to go back to Ukraine with grown-up eyes and a grown-up who has a voice, and to meet my birth family, to meet my birth mom, and just, yeah, it was really, really tough. I didn't want to go, to be honest. I felt like it was extremely, extremely selfish for me to be there. I do communicate a lot with the Ukrainian winter, like, Paralympic team too. And I was asking, like, talking to them too. And Eileen Carey, who's a director of the Nordic program, her sister works in the State Department stuff. And she was familiar with organizations. And I told Eileen that should I end up on the podium, if I'm lucky enough to be there, I wanted to donate. That's the only way I can go to Beijing and compete, is if I can actually donate. And she helped me find an organization, which that was through Global Giving. And Global Giving has so many different organizations that you can donate to. Yeah, and
they're amazing.
I specifically wanted something that is small and local. So that way I knew I can't do a lot. I don't have a lot to give, but I know what I do give would be life-changing for an organization.
That's so awesome. I saw that on your Instagram page. So a percentage of your earnings go back to these kids in Ukraine?
Yes, no child forgotten. Because I know how it feels to be a child forgotten. I know how it feels to be a kid with disability there and to be in pain.
Do you ever look at your life and all that you've experienced and all that you've done and let it soak in?
No.
I mean,
I don't think so.
It's incredible, Oksana. Of all the things you've done and that people could take away from your story, what is the one message you hope they don't miss?
Ooh. I don't know if it's like a message they can get, but what I hope people can maybe they can see or think is just like, never let someone determine your future and determine what you can do and determine what you're capable of doing or where you're going based on what they're judging you on and just their limited knowledge of what they have about you. Because I think I spent so many years of my life so angry and hating looking in the mirror because I was just, all I saw was everything I fed into to people that were saying all these things about me. And I think that's the worst thing that we can do to ourselves is to give power to those kind of people or to those kind of situations. And I think with regardless, whether it's reading through my story and experience of going from orphanages to surgeries, to sports, or in a pandemic or in a war, there are some incredible, beautiful things that can come from really, really devastating circumstances, but it's on us. You decide at the end of the day, is this going to be a sad story or is this going to be a powerful story?
Earlier, you talked about how we all have superpowers. What is your superpower?
Ooh. Right? I say that and now I need to believe what I say. I have this problem too. I say all these things. My mom and my boyfriend will call me out all the time. Like, you say this all the time, Oksana. Why don't you actually do it for yourself though? I don't know. I think my superpower is, there's two. My body. I think in some ways what people see is like, someone can see it as what I'm missing and how it's not right. And like, oh my gosh. But you know what the coolest thing is, little kids see my legs and some of them freak out and cry and run away. But some of them are like, that's so cool. Can you fly? And it's just that pure excitement and their genuine curiosity. And it's just, my body alone is so different but it has allowed me to do so much. And I know that it's just a body and it's the mind that truly will find the ways for you to do something. And it was just the mind you had to get through, like, okay, it's just going to look different. And then the other, I guess, maybe superpower is the fact that I really, I love being a student of something. I just love learning and not afraid to fail in that process of it. And I think that is something that it's hard to read when people read the accomplishments, to be honest, because what isn't highlighted is that I didn't make my first games in Rio. People assumed I was going to podium and I was supposed to win and I got no medals and just all these, like, I didn't make my national team in skiing years later. And, yeah, and also like, that alone is a superpower to just keep going regardless and staying hungry and proving it wrong too. And yeah, I don't know.
That's such a good point. We should make that mandatory for resumes. You have to put, of course, everyone is always highlighting the highs, but you have to put, and these are also all the failures, and honor those as,
yeah,
as like, this is what matters too. These, yeah, these are all the times I fail. Cause you just, yeah, see the shiny, you know, medals and all the glory that comes with the success, but you don't see the shit that it, yeah, takes to get there.
Or you sleeping out of a car cause you run out, yeah, of money and you don't want to ask your mom for any more money again. But also cause like there's so many,
Did that actually happen?
Yeah. Right before Sochi, leading into Sochi in Winter Park, my mom was helping me financially funded my dream in sports, but then there's also a lot of fights going, like, well, where are you going with this money? What are you doing? I just, yeah, helped you. But then 4 days from when we left, I ran out of, I thought I calculated it right and I didn't. So I had to, I just ended up moving my stuff from the Airbnb setup that I had to the parking lot and hope that I wasn't going to get arrested. And I had this old beat up car, but it had a DVD. So I'm like, I am set. I have all this winter clothes. And, you know, I feel like in some ways you're not put in any situation that you can't handle. And in that situation, I resorted back to when I was in Ukraine and had to reserve that piece of bread that I had got for 3 weeks. Didn't know when it was going to be the next one. So then I went to my old techniques of how to preserve a box of spinach, and it was great. I ended up losing weight. So I think that's why I ended up doing so well in Sochi, but that extra little lean. But yeah. And also like what is these young kids in the generation now, they see what you have now and they, yeah, see your success and the opportunities that are coming your way. And in Beijing, they're like, well, yeah, well, I have to compete against you and it's not fair. I'll never be able to achieve that. And it's just, I want to help shine a positive light on, it doesn't have to even be considered failure, but there's nothing wrong with failure either. Yeah, and yeah, that they're to be celebrated because that is truly what's giving you that hunger and that power. And it's, you learn so much from it. Yeah. And it's part of the process. Is learning how to lose is the same as learning how to succeed. It all goes together.
Oh my gosh, you are amazing, Oksana.
Not even close.
Yes, you are. Gosh, sister, what you have lived through, how you've dealt with it, how you've just continued to fight on and stay so positive through all of it. I just love everything about your story. May you, however, continue that success in this next game called the Lynn Game. Oksana, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I feel like I am going to crush things today because I haven't been crushing things at all.
Awesome. Well, I am banned from playing Risk because I get so competitive. My only rule is to not take over Ukraine. So I put all my pieces on Ukraine. I don't do it really well at all. And someone took over and I just flung the board. So I'll try not to, to keep it all together.
Julie, you've met your match, it sounds like.
I know. I love it. I love her.
All right, Oksana, you are about to go head-to-head with Julie in a game of trivia. There are five questions, best of five wins. All of the questions are multiple choice. If you think you know the answer at any point in the question, you can make a noise to answer it. And on that note, what is your noisemaker for this game?
I think my noisemaker, oh no, it's doing this weird thing again.
It was going to be my espresso machine, the steamer, my steam wand.
But I just recently cleaned it, and so it's kind of like has to like wake up. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I don't know.
So now it's going to be my coffee grinder. I'm going to adapt on the fly.
Yes.
Just an adapt.
So it's going to be, can you guys hear this?
Oh yeah.
That works.
Okay. Yeah.
That works. And we just did a Colleen hacker. We have to give credit where credit is due. Adjust and adapt. You did it on the fly and you have to do a dance move when
all the time.
When you do it.
All the time.
Jules, what have you got?
I've got my green piglet. Oh, Swaggy's still out. She's on the bed. What's wrong with her? She'll come alive. She must
be
really out.
The theme of this game, in honor of all of your Winter Paralympic success and the time you probably spend outside in the winter weather, it's called Know Your Snow.
Ooh,
all of these questions are about snow.
Oh no.
Gosh. Know Your Snow. Okay. Swaggy and I are ready.
Question one. How many sides does a snowflake have? Is it A, 6, B, 8, or C, 12? Julie.
8.
Incorrect.
Ah!
The remaining choices are either A, 6, or C, 12.
I was going to say 12.
Incorrect. The correct answer is 6.
What?
Okay. I do remember doing that little cutting. Yeah, I know. Sorry. Cutting.
Question two. What U.S. city holds the Guinness World Record for largest snowball fight?
Oh.
Is it A, Seattle?
Oh.
Did we get a grind there, Oksana?
I don't know. Did you hear? I should have waited.
I'm sorry, Oksana, you grind it in. So okay. You're going to have to check your answer.
I was going to say Minnesota, Minneapolis, or if it's like a city.
Incorrect.
Oh, okay.
Also not a choice.
That's why I don't know why I said that. I got excited.
So A, Seattle, B, Buffalo, or C, Miami.
Buffalo.
Incorrect. Seattle is the correct answer. We are going to question three, donut to donut.
0-0.
This might be one of my favorite questions I've ever asked. Question three, what is the fear of snow called? Is it A, arachnophobia, B, snowophobia, or C, Keanu-phobia?
Wait, what was C?
Keanu phobia?
Oh, God.
Did you grind in there, Oksana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keanu phobia?
Keanu phobia, correct.
Wow! How do you know that?
I don't know. It sounded very Scandic, and that's why I went with it.
Snow. I was going to say snowophobia.
I checked the pronunciation, and the clue is that it's pronounced like Keanu Reeves, Keanu phobia.
Oh. Okay, 1-0. I still got how many more questions?
Two
questions.
Question four. In Fahrenheit, what temperature causes snow? Is it A, 0 degrees, B, 28 degrees, or C, 32 degrees?
32, let's go! 1-1! I thought
okay,
it was like a trick question at first. I'm like, this is too easy. What is she talking about? 32, 0 Celsius. Okay.
Question five.
This
approximately.
Oksana, good luck.
Good luck.
Question five. Approximately how fast can a snow leopard run?
Oh.
Is it A, 20 miles an hour, B, 35 miles an hour, or C, 75 miles an hour. Julie got in there.
I just knew I had to get in. I really have no idea. But I'm going with 35 miles per hour.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not. But I'm going with it.
Despite your uncertainty of the answer, that is correct.
No! Oh. Wait, does this mean she wins?
She won. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I cannot be mad with that celebratory dance at all. Congratulations.
Come on, I had to win something. Oksana, you cannot win everything this year.
You should feel like my heart rate, and I'm like sweating. If this was a white shirt, like I get all into games.
You get all pitted out like my yeah. All right. Most pressing questions. Oksana, out of all of your 17 Paralympic medals, which one has the most significance to you?
Ooh. That's hard. Because they're all just so tied to something so meaningful. It's a tie between the two most recent ones. Well, there's three.
There's 17. They're all tied.
One of the most special ones for me was, and then there's another one because
we're up to five.
I'm the queen of one more time. But honestly, like there's, one in Tokyo, but then in Sochi in 2014, my silver medal in the cross country long, it was the first medal the U.S. had Olympic or Paralympic in 20 years in cross-country skiing. So it was just pretty crazy. But the reason for that medal is because coming off of London 2012, that was a team sport. And one of the things I was really interested about skiing was I always question, and I don't know if it's because like I'm a female or why, but like, what did I really contribute to this? Or is it because I had a male that was so strong on our team? And it was the first time I actually started on the start line by myself, even though there's nothing like winning with a team, but really got to see like, do I really belong on that world stage? And so that kind of helped me realize myself that I am in the right place and I am chasing the right dream. But then also, I think in Tokyo in 2020, the time trial, I've never won a time trial in my life before. And to go from no medals in Rio to gold. To that gold medal.
Yeah.
I can't even say it because I can't believe it still.
Yeah.
Just based on the scary situation going into it health-wise, it's a really, really special medal.
Love it.
Next, most pressing, what is your favorite quote?
Oh, got this one. Easy. There's no five quotes, I promise. Just three. No, I'm joking. It's in my high school quote underneath your picture the senior year. And it's, to be irreplaceable, one must always be different. And it's from Coco Chanel. And the minute I read that, it resonated with me so much. And it really helped turn my views of my differences, physical differences that I couldn't hide, into seeing it a positive, which is it's irreplaceable and you're irreplaceable. And I think that's when we said earlier, like, what's one takeaway that you want someone to have from that? It's to look at yourself as irreplaceable. And every time you feel like you look different or you are different, it's you're not different. You're just irreplaceable kind of thing.
Clap.
But you would think it should be like an athlete. Maybe I need to add on. There's so many.
No, you don't. I love that.
No, Julie started a slow clap. I wanted to reach through the screen and give you a hug.
Yeah. And especially because I would imagine you spent so much of your life wanting to assimilate, right? Coming from a different country, and not knowing the language, like, and now you're honoring, no, actually you want to be different. And let's celebrate that. And the last thing we always do on the podcast, Oksana, is high, low cheer. I do this around the dinner table with my kids. They're high of the day, they're low of the day, and someone they cheer for. But for you, it's of your career. So high of your career, low of your career. And the cheer is for someone who's helped you along the way. We'll start with your high.
I think my high is just most recently that I had no idea this was even a thing and that I was even close to it. But then having the new record for the winner Paralympic medals, especially my sport of cross-country skiing. I just love that it's a cross-country skier, which I'm biased. That's kind of a high that it's kind of just wild to think.
Yeah.
My low, I think oh my gosh, there's honestly so many lows.
Here we go. 3, 4, 5.
There's two really that stand out. 2018, I was going into the games as where I broke my elbow 3 weeks out from the start of the games. And that was the first time, it was my fourth games. And I finally was entering it confident and believing in myself that I can actually achieve this gold medal. Before it was just a dream and no expectations. And I just wanted to, and then all of a sudden it was my first time I had sponsors and like just had, I felt like I was on cloud nine. And then I ended up slipping and breaking my elbow and then hearing that I couldn't compete anymore. And that was a super low moment going like, just like not even being able to like pull up, go to the bathroom on your own and pull up your pants or brush your hair. And it worked out in the end to everyone's surprise and my surprise. And then in Tokyo, discovered a tumor that was absolutely terrifying to just come off of a win in an amazing World Cup and qualify, not qualifying yet for the Tokyo team, but getting closer to it. And then to literally go straight home, one day home and go to Texas to get surgery because that was the only option. And then 100 days out from the Tokyo games. So then I thought, well, this is definitely over. Were the two probably biggest lowest moments of my athletic career.
And that was right before Tokyo too, right?
Yeah, the surgery happened on the 100 days out.
Yeah.
And I will never forget. I wasn't hungry because I was eating the salt in my tears, I think. I was just like crying so much. And the cheer of the day and the person, it's impossible to cheer for like a village and just not into like roll the list out of everyone I want to name off, but it's always my mom. My mom is, she saved my life. She saved my life. And then she saved it again with opening the door of sports for me. And she was persistent on me trying it, but she never pushed me in it. She let me walk through it when I wanted to. And when I was ready, and she's, at the end of the day, like, I mean, everything I do for her, and she's because of her. My mom's my always cheer.
Yay, moms. Yay, gay.
Yay. And my boyfriend, Aaron Craig, I guess I should say.
Don't forget him. But really, mom.
My mom.
But mostly my mom. All right. Tell your mom I think I have a new nickname for you.
Ooh. I'm ready to replace.
Resilient rascal to hearty jalapeno.
Oh, I love it. Hearty jalapeno. Yes.
Hearty jalapeno. I think that one's going to stick because she is spicy. I love that about her. Okay. Takeaways, Lynn.
Google strikes again.
Oh, yes, it does.
We first heard it from Alana Myers-Taylor as far as how she got into Olympic bobsledding. To hear it again with Oksana, I think it goes to show that a little bit of curiosity can lead to pretty epic things.
Good things happen with the Google. My takeaway, I have a lot of takeaways. Mm. I'm only going to give one. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to give one because her story is so incredible. But when she's talking and going through the list of surgeries and birth defects and things that she's had to overcome in life that were just handed to her, and there are a lot of opportunities, I'm sure, as a human to be like, God, why me, right? And she has this incredible perspective and ability to reframe and, you know, make light of, at one point, I think she joked, you know, thank God she didn't take off both my legs right away because, we were just getting to know each other. And she's been able to reframe this and thrive in a situation that has to be so difficult at times. And for that, I just bow to her because it's incredible that she has the ability to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's remarkable.
Questions permitted.
All right. This question comes from Insta from Liquid Jackie.
Liquid Jackie. Okay.
What podcasts do you listen to regularly?
This is not going to be very exciting. I listen to a lot of news and politics, which Lynn knows well. That is my weakness. So I feel like I don't have enough time to catch up on news and everything that's happening. So I go to a lot of news podcasts, like The Daily is my favorite.
Julie, I actually didn't know that about you. I knew that you liked them, but I didn't know that you listened to them regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So you listen to The Daily?
I do. They've got a lot of really good ones. And it's like the perfect amount of length, which I know we can never get to. We always say like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could keep things to 40? Yeah, no, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about 30 minutes, sometimes 25. And so it's like perfect for a run or a walk. I also listen to Sway. I like Kara.
I don't know that podcast.
Sway? She's smart. She's really smart. And then occasionally I'll listen to Smartless. I know you like Smartless.
I do like Smartless. I'll have to check out Sway. Do you know what mine are?
Armchair Expert, Brené Brown. And I do listen to Glennon and Abby. Mm-hmm.
We can and do sister, hard things.
Amanda, yep. We can do hard things. I listen to that.
I have not listened to Armchair Expert in a while, although that was one that really got me into podcasts. Smartless, so funny, so well done.
So fun, yeah.
Yeah, Unlocking Us with Brené Brown. We Can Do Hard Things. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Mix in a little mm-hmm. Super Soul Sunday every once in a while. I've recently sent you two podcasts episodes. I don't believe you've ever sent me a podcast episode to listen to, so please do. If you come across a good one.
You know
one.
What a really good one is, actually? The Daily did this great podcast episode on Zelensky's background. The Ukrainian president.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating. Hmm. I'm always telling people about that one. I'll send it to you.
Okay, thank you. I actually feel like we just got to know each other a little bit more.
It does tell you a lot about, in terms of what podcast you listen to. And with that, a heartfelt thank you to The Dope Village for sharing your time with us. What podcast do you listen to, Dope Village? We do not take you all listening to us for granted for 1 second. So thank you very much. We also appreciate the support we receive from our sponsors, Ally and Dick's Sporting Goods. Go support them as well. And of course, a shout out to Kate Diaz for our theme music. And remember, as always, kids, sing it with us. Laughter permitted.
My mom's my always cheer.